From Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from Philippians chapter 2. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from John chapter 17. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you, for I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I have kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory, that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. O Lord, have mercy on us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus prayed to the Father in John 17, Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me. Now Jesus prayed those words on the night of his betrayal. And it's always a comforting thing to hear this high priestly prayer of Jesus, which is what John 17 is often called. And we always think about that on Monday, Thursday as well. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he was thinking about you. And he gave the church the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, and he was praying for you, for his disciples, for all of God's people. Jesus called upon the name of God for the sake of his people. Even as he himself bears God's name. His name means Yahweh saves. It's who Jesus is. And he's God himself. So tonight, as we look at the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, we see that we pray, Hallowed be thy name. And that first petition of the Lord's Prayer orients or sets the tone, so to speak, for the rest of the petitions as you pray the Lord's Prayer. God's name is holy, because he is holy. Praying, Hallowed be thy name, confesses who you are in the waters of your baptism. It's praying for and living out your baptismal identity. And so you bear the name of God because you are baptized. You are sons of God who can and do call God your Father because you belong to Jesus. And that's such a significant thing that we sadly take for granted. And when we consider the Lord's Prayer, we see that it's no joke and something you are to protect. I've mentioned in Bible studies before that I get a bit uneasy when the Lord's Prayer gets thrown around and used willy-nilly in the different public sphere settings that you sometimes hear it in. Luther calls the Lord's Prayer the greatest martyr. Because only Christians, only those who belong to the Son, only those who bear the name of God can call God their Father and pray to him with the clear command and promise that God will hear and answer their prayers. Now, I remember vividly one funeral luncheon many years ago, and I still remember vividly to this day. The service had ended, and I was down in the church basement visiting with people. And the person who had died, one of her relatives, was the CEO of Buttig Meats. Remember in the deli section, you see Buttig? So the CEO of Buttig Meats was there. And so the ladies putting on the luncheon did not have to provide the meat because he provided it. So I remember that vividly. I don't know why, but I just do. There's food involved, so I can remember that. Now, one man who was not the CEO of Buttig Meats, I'd never met before and I never saw again, came up to me, and immediately he was angry. He took issue with what I said in the sermon. He was upset that I preached that people are sons of God through faith in Jesus, which was also one of the readings in the funeral service. He didn't think, because he told me as such, that you needed to believe in Jesus, or really anything for that matter, and that someone is a son of God by virtue of being a person. Now, to an extent, there is an element of being human, that a person is a son of God as he is a creature, but the point about being a son of God through faith in Christ proclaims something about what it means to have sonship, what it means to be an heir through Christ, because apart from Christ, man remains in his sin. And as we had just had this funeral, to have that confidence to face even death, to be a son of God in Jesus. Now, when you look at yourself and you see your sin, you can't hallow God's name. But in Christ, you are holy. Your sin has been taken off of you and put on to Jesus, put on to the spotless Lamb of God. And the life and atoning death of Jesus gives you access to God, and bearing his name, the Lord hears and answers you, your prayers. So that when you pray in that first petition, and all of the petitions, but in particular, when you pray in the first petition, "Hallowed be thy name," you do so as God's own children, asking their dear Father, people who bear the very name of the one to whom they are praying. You pray that this name of God, which is a saving name, be kept holy in this world and in your life as well. You treasure it. You want it to be holy. And so you're not praying to manipulate God, but you're laying claim to God himself. You're laying claim to what God has done for you in Christ and the very identity that you have in that name that he has placed upon you. Praying the Lord's Prayer is who you are as his people, commanded by God to pray, and God promises to hear and answer you. The Large Catechism confesses what this means for your life, and it forms you day by day as people who bear God's name and who pray for it daily to be kept holy in your lives. Very succinctly, Luther states in this section of the Large Catechism, which is rather short on this petition, he says this: "But how does it become holy among us? Answer, as plainly as it can be said, when both our doctrine and life are godly and Christian. Since we call God our Father in this prayer, it is our duty always to act and behave ourselves as godly children, that he may not receive shame but honor and praise from us." So when you consider this and what this forms for your life in this petition, you consider who you are each day and what it means that God gives you each day in this world. We were just talking about the daily prayers and catechesis, about making the sign of the cross as it instructs us in the Small Catechism at the beginning of the day and at the end of the day. Beginning each day calling upon the name of God and remembering the name that has been placed upon us when we get up in the morning and when we go to bed at night. And so God's name is hallowed in your life when you live holy lives, because who you are is a saint. God has made you his people. God has forgiven your sins, and you live this new life. And so as you pray, "Hallowed be thy name," you desire to hear the word of God and keep it and to live your life according to it. You make every effort not to bring shame to Christ, not to dishonor his name in your life by your words or your works. And you take seriously the task and the duty to put God and his word at the forefront of your life. You make it your aim and your goal to daily hear and read the scriptures and to take them to heart. Likewise, you value biblical teaching and confess it to others in your life. Doctrine matters because it's God's doctrine and his name is attached to it, and he teaches it to you. And God teaches you to pray and to call upon his name every day and in every circumstance. Bearing the name of God gives you the boldness and the confidence to pray to God and not to neglect to call upon your Lord in every trouble or time of thanksgiving. Christians use the name of God by hearing God's word, by keeping it, and praying to the Lord without ceasing. And by your words, your lips, and confession are to speak what is true. No deceit is to come from your mouth, even as Jesus spoke the truth. You remember whose name you bear, and you guard what you say, and you honor God's name with your words. Cursing and vile talk are not to be on your lips and in your conversations. Your words are to be faithful. Your words are to be in love toward others. Your words are to build one another up and encourage one another as the body of Christ. And honoring and keeping the name of God holy also occurs by your works. The second reading from Philippians teaches you what is to be your mind as a Christian. St. Paul wrote, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men." And so what is this mind of Christ then? Well, the opening verses of that chapter, chapter 2, tell you. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in a full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others as more significant than yourselves. Let each one of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. And so hallowing God's name in your life looks outside of yourself. It has the mind of Jesus, who sacrifices, who laid down his life for us. And so for you who bear the strong name of the Holy Trinity, and as you consider this evening, there is great joy in this as well. Think of it like this. God is calling you to be who you are. He's calling you as you pray, "Hallowed be not thy name," to be his children. The name of God is such a holy and powerful thing, and you have this name placed upon you. You have been called out of the darkness and into the marvelous light of Christ. You are holy, even as God is holy. Again, the Large Catechism confesses, "So this point is easy and clear, if only the language is understood. To hallow means the same as to praise, magnify, and honor, both in word and deed." Consider this as well about this petition tonight. God uses means to accomplish his work in this world. And he uses you to hallow his name as God's word is taught and preached by pastors, by teachers, and by Christians gathering together as one another, as you lead holy lives according to his word. And when we think about hallowing God's name in our lives, it might not always seem or look impressive. It might not always be interesting. But you bear the name of God. And God uses you, sin-stained sinners, to hallow his name as he has washed you clean in the blood of the Lamb. And his word is going forth in this world, delivering Christ and his salvation. And as you serve your neighbor, he's using you and your vocations to be salt and light, to shine before others, and together as the church, as a city setting on a hill, praying, "Hallowed be thy name." God hears, and he answers your prayer. Jesus prays for you. He still prays for you. Jesus, in his passion, called upon the name of God for your sake. Jesus said, "I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them, and I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are one. Take to heart what Jesus says. Rejoice in his care for you. Rejoice that you bear the name of God and pray as your Lord has taught you, hallowed be not thy name, knowing that God hears and answers your prayers. For his name is holy, and in Christ you are holy. And God grant you to keep God's name holy and protect you from anyone who teaches or lives contrary to it. Amen.